This is about singleness. I'm here with Dan Marsh and Matt Levitt, two of my favourite people in the planet.
In the planet. Aww.
In the planet.
In the planet.
On the planet.
On the planet.
Yes.
Well, aren't we in the planet? Don't we belong? Aren't we with? One with? It's because I've been...
Gaia.
That Swedish girl has been a bit angry, isn't she?
You've been with a Swedish girl?
No. About the world.
Yes. I have to say I'm a bit worried about that.
What, the Swedish girl? Go on.
I'm worried for her.
She's got a lot on her shoulders, isn't she?
She's got a lot on her shoulders. And I think
she's really young, right?
And you know the propensity for the media to kind of put people up on pedestals and then kind of...
Drop them.
Deliberately drop them and kind of... And I could just see that happening. I think she's...
She needs good people around her.
And, you know, by her own admittance, she struggles with some mental health issues and stuff like
right.
that. And, you know, I think there's a dangerous kind of whipping up into hysteria that can... But what she's speaking about, incredible.
Climate change.
Just a bit worried for
I thought you thought climate change was a myth.
Are we talking about that one right
no,
now?
No, let's not do it. Let's save that for another day. Today, we are talking about singleness.
And it's like this tumbleweed that blows through. And there'll be some people that will be switching off right now because they'll think it's not relevant to them.
Well, and so I'll tell you what I think it is.
Yeah.
Because if you're a Christian listening to this podcast and you are in a relationship, then you probably, whether you admit it or not, wonder why people are single.
Right.
And probably have a bit of prejudice against it.
Okay.
I think the church has a massive, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
If you're not married by 16.
I think they certainly raise marriage or married people up to a higher status than single people in church.
So... But yeah, anyway, so that's why we're doing it. And obviously there's like single people and it's like hard being single sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It is. But there's some good bits about it too, which I hope we'll get on to. But
So I'm with Matt. You know Matt. If you don't know who Matt is, gosh, what's the best podcast you think we've done?
Oh, the one.
we've had the most complaints about?
Was it called a panel of idiots one?
Yeah.
It was about unpopular opinions.
Yeah.
Man, I've got so many unpopular opinions.
Oh,
Most of which I didn't say. But it was at this point where the whole room was laughing so much that it was just like,
I think we actually had to stop.
Because
laughter. I think we actually had to stop when you were talking about how you wash your feet. But go back and listen to that one. And I'm with Dan.
Hello.
Who is long-time listener, first-time guest.
Yes. Oh, are you?
Yeah, I am. I haven't been on
so
yet.
So you're a podcast virgin?
Yeah, podcast virgin.
Oh, brilliant.
And in life as well.
Excellent. That's good. Thought I'd bring that up, considering the issue we're talking about today.
Yeah, we're talking about singleness, so why don't we get out in the open?
Okay, so that's the start of the podcast. So Dan, tell us about yourself.
Well, where to begin? 23, I'm a midget.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
He can call himself, can't he?
Yeah, I've been to I'm part of the Forge Church. Work alongside you a bit with the worship.
Yeah.
So, you might see me there if you go there.
You're a teacher.
I'm a primary school teacher, which I love. I love that podcast a few weeks ago that we had on as well.
Oh yeah, we had Helsey and Eliza on, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. I share what they kind of say.
And you go along to Eden, don't you?
Yeah, I'll get along to Eden, do most of that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah.
Because you're a legend.
Good. Welcome,
thanks,
Dan.
Thank you.
Welcome. Round of applause to Dan, wherever you're listening.
I thank that.
So, you are both single.
Yep.
Very attractive.
Young. I don't know about young, but
males.
Yeah.
Both at very different stages.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you've never had a long-term relationship, have you?
No.
But Matt, you have been married.
Yes. And have had several kind of other relationships as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's another story. Yeah.
So, why don't you tell us briefly, I don't know, can you give us a snapshot of where you're coming from when you speak into this conversation?
Maybe? Yeah.
Not a cringe way of saying it. Your dating, a snapshot of your dating life or your relationship status.
Yeah, okay, fairly standard. Kind of dated several people. I think I've I kind of probably been in love maybe three times in my life, mm-hmm. I think. But when I was about 21, I met a girl, fell in love. We dated, got engaged. She was Christian as well, so we had a lot of things in common, liked youth work, got married. And then when we got back from our honeymoon, really, almost immediately, she kind of shared with me that she'd made a mistake and that marrying me wasn't right and that she wasn't in love with me and was really in love with the idea of being married and kind of got all confused. And I really don't want to put her down in all of this, because she's not evil. She wasn't horrible. She just kind of got confused with it all, I think. And she didn't want to hurt me, but obviously there was a lot of pain in that. It's like, I've got all that hope of what marriage can bring. And I guess we'll be talking a bit about that with Dan, but that kind of, you're dreaming of what married life can be like. And then suddenly it feels like it's been taken away from me. She also became quite ill very quickly after that. And so there was all the struggles of kind of me looking after her and her feeling guilty about that because of what she'd said to me. And anyway, we'd been married about 4 years, and I came back from a summer camp, and to find that she'd left, kind of a Dear John sort of letter sort of thing. But again, you know, she was a Christian, and she struggled with kind of her responsibilities as a Christian and the promises and the vows she'd made being married. Anyway, so for me, but certainly for her as well, but for me, I really meant those vows I made, which is, you know, you stand there and you say, before God, forsaking all others until death us do part. So along with that vow, it's an understanding of what I read in the Bible, which for Christians is kind of our guidebook, a book we live by, which seems to very clearly, to me at least, say, look, divorce and remarriage isn't God's plan for us, not what he wants for us. That's not judging anyone out there who's listening, who's in that place. This is just my story. So at that moment, I kind of committed myself to what I thought God was calling me to, which was a life of singleness. Now, I hesitate to say never again, because, you know, if my wife died, you know, would I think about remarriage again? Possibly. But, you know, as I get older, the chances of that happening are less and less. So for all intents and purposes, I'm single for the rest of my life. So I've been single, living this kind of single life for about 21 years now, 22 years now, and will be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, mate. And Dan, what's your kind of a brief history of Dan Marsh's love life to date?
So I wouldn't, as we said earlier, I probably would never class myself having a long-term relationship. I've always had, like, it's not like I've been like, no, not at all. But it's been kind of like, how would I explain it? I haven't been actively pursuing something like that. Like, a lot of people would, especially in a Christian thing, timeline would be like, oh, it's time now to try and think about this kind of thing. But I've never been like, I need to try and find the one right now. I don't think that's right. I think God's got a path for me, and I think that that will come when it comes. And whether it means like it'll be tomorrow or many years to come, I think that that's probably where I'm kind of at. Like, when I went through school, I wasn't actively pursuing, like, yes, obviously you find people attracting everything, but I always had that in mind. I wanted the Christian person who had the same views, same thoughts, same things as me, because otherwise I can't give all my love, all my attention, because I'll be fighting a lost cause or something like that.
You're happy as you are, but if something came along, then
I think that's a good way of explaining it. I think that for me to add something else to my life, it needs to be the dream. Not, it sounds really cool, but the one.
Okay.
And so, would you say that is like an active choice that you make every day, or something that's just kind of happened that you're making a resolution with in your mind? Because for Matt, it's like very much a choice of like, he is married. I am choosing to live this life. I've got a theological basis. For you, is it a choice or maybe like just more of a coincidence that you haven't found someone, doesn't really bother you, don't really think about it? Or is this something like a choice you get up every day and commit to?
I think it's a mixture of all what you've said there, because I think that obviously always in my mind, I'm like, oh, all my friends and they're miles ahead. But I don't think at the same time I need to be looking at it like that. I think there's always a path and God will put someone in place for me.
You find that easy though?
No, of course not. Yeah.
No, some days are harder than others.
Oh, of course.
Some days all you want is kind of a relationship and you kind of look at, I don't mean you, I mean we, us. You know, you look and you go, oh, what would it be like to go out with them or have a relationship with them? And then other days it's not difficult at all and it doesn't even cross your mind.
I'm not being funny, but God's put stuff inside of us.
Absolutely.
Made us attractive people.
Definitely.
You can't choose not to be attracted to people. No,
and right from the beginning of the Bible, it talks about it's not good for man to be alone. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're built to be in relationship with each other. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
So, I want to get to some of the Bible stuff around it, because I know there's some stuff around Paul.
Okay. Yeah.
That he challenges us. Well, he kind of says, marriage. Oh, I'm paraphrasing.
This
is not a direct quote.
No.
Marriage is a waste of time. Like, if you can stay single, go for it, because Jesus is coming back soon. How much of that... So for me, that's contextually a bit off, because his view of Jesus returning and...
Absolutely, they thought Jesus' return was very imminent, kind of within his lifetime sort of thing. And so he was saying, with that in mind, of getting married as a distraction, so rather than a waste of time, it's a distraction from the cause. And I think we're in a different place in we still believe Jesus will return, but kind of the time scale is very different. However, I'd still think that it's there's an element of truth, and you'll know this being married, and Alex, who's sitting there very quietly with the headphones on, know this from being married. Once you get married, suddenly the choices are not yours and yours alone anymore. Mm. You have a wife or a husband to consider in everything, and children as well in that. You know, and so distraction... I don't mean that in a negative way, but it can pull you away from some stuff. Now, of course, there's some real massive joys about being married, and we can talk about those, but that's what Paul was trying to say. I think he was trying to say, look, your choices, when you get married, your choices are not entirely your own anymore.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, to make a marriage work, you have to be very committed to them.
I felt a nudge to go and work in Guatemala for a year.
Yeah.
It'd be very different. Carrying that out, how to pursue that in God's plan to you.
Absolutely.
Matt,
that's
if you
exactly
feel a nudge,
I mean.
You go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you ask
absolutely.
For a couple of weeks annual leave.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's exactly that. And the same is true with Dan. We have a freedom that comes with being single in every area of our lives. Mm. It's not just going on a mission trip, it's what we do with our money.
Yeah.
It's what we do with our time. You know, it's the TV programs we watch. Mm. You know, it's the, you know, how much time we give to the church to serve. In every area of our life, there's a freedom, because it's only us that makes the choice.
And therefore, you feel like your element of being with God is probably a different relationship to those who probably in a marriage. So, for example, you and Kat will probably have to think about it together, how we... actively pursuing our relationship with God together as well as individually. So it's a very different relationship in that aspect.
So how do you, this is a question for both of you, how do you stay out of trouble?
Simple as sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not, I sin and I ask for forgiveness all the time. So I'm not perfect, definitely not. But there are ways that I try and stop myself all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard not to, and I'm trying to emphasize that here, that But there are obviously ways to sometimes, it's not a distraction technique, yeah. but it's a, how do I describe it? It's a enforcing that God's got something for
it's
you.
It's kind of an enforced Ooh. Distraction, you know, yeah. that way. Yeah, yeah, positive exactly. distraction. I mean, the truth is, you know, we often think, so in the whole sex arena or whatever, we think, oh, you know, when you get married, you know, all of those problems will disappear. You know, sex is on tap. You know, I won't fantasize about other people. I won't find other people attractive. Mm. And of course, you know, that's just not true. And the reality is, as a single guy, our struggles with kind of sex and temptation and pornography and the internet and all of that are probably exactly the same as for a married guy. I guess the difference is that we have less accountability around our lives unless we actively choose to put it in.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is nobody knows what I do in my house once I shut the front door unless I choose to put in a measure of accountability. Mm. And so that measure of self-control that comes into play, you know, I have some very strict rules in my life. I won't take my laptop into the bedroom, you know, those sort of things just to try and control. But like Dan, sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm. You know, there's been times where I've had to extricate myself from a certain situation because I found the person I'm with attractive and I haven't wanted to go there. A couple of times at weddings I've been at, you know, I've been put on a table with all the single people, as you do, you know, and you know, there's drink flowing and there's a party atmosphere, and you know, it'd be very easy to travel down a road that I don't want to go to. So kind of sometimes I don't go to parties or I don't go to places, which, but the reality is the temptation's no different for us, and it is for every married person out there, really.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess it's probably a bit different with Dan as someone that's saying, I do want a relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So you can't cut off all options.
No, absolutely. No, that's really good point.
So I don't know. I mean, that must have been really hard at uni, surely.
Yeah, uni was like, so I graduated about just over a year ago properly from teacher training, and it was brilliant, but there were so many distractions, especially when for three of my years I was living with, and I purposely made myself live with non-Christians to try and actively try and get myself into a situation where I can talk about God, talk about church, da, da, da. But of course that came with so many temptations, and especially when you had people bringing girls over and
meet my mate.
He's a Christian.
I don't want to.
It's like, oh, I'm in my room again, trying to stop myself.
And the truth is, those moments at times, you know, you've got temptation coupled with sometimes feeling lonely.
Yeah,
you know, that's a powerful combination. Yeah,
that's a whole other like cat and a fishery.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I think, like, I don't know if I want to say this on the internet, I'd struggle way more with the loneliness, just the companionship, than any of this.
And it is, and that is hard. Mm. That is hard. And I have to, I mean, I don't have to. I'm an extrovert character.
Yeah.
I love being with people. But you know, there are moments in my life where I'm like, you know, I've got to get out and I've got to go to my friends.
If you've had a bad day at work.
Yeah,
but just
fortunately, I've got some really good friends and friends who are females, who know my story, they know my situation. They know that I'm not coming on to them if I give them a hug. You know, they know that if I phone them up and say, you know, do you want to go to the cinema or whatever? They know that there's not kind of an ulterior motive there, but they know this is part of being a friend. Yeah. And so I've got some very good, deep female friendships. A lot of them are married now. And so I've built a relationship with the husband, if I didn't know them already.
Yeah.
But it's those close friends that actually...
Treating the husbands find that hard.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And I've had to change how I kind of react with their wives or whatever. Mm. Most of them, you know, the relationship's been for years and years and years now. Yeah. So it's not a problem. It's not an issue. And I'm just as much friends with the husband now as the... But there are a couple of friends that I'm thinking of where I've known the girl for a long time and I'm only just getting to know the guy, but I'm getting to do that.
I would say, like, likewise with that, like, especially during high school, my main influence and friends, they're three girls.
Yeah,
like, honestly, like, it was me, three girls, and because we were all churchies and we all liked that kind of element of our lives, so we spent quite a lot of time together. Now,
are you always the quotation marks gay best friend? Is that you? Because that was always me in school.
Okay, it,
sometimes
even
it felt,
though I wasn't
yeah,
gay.
Yeah, it felt like that. You were there. You were the not the side piece, but you were the person who went
they
along.
They just don't think of you in that way.
No, so, of course. Yeah, yeah. And like, I'm still really good friends with them. Two of them are married now. One's just to my left here.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just that way that I need to pursue myself throughout that. And of course, like sometimes you might have that, those feelings in some ways, but you just try and
Or talk it out or whatever, or you pray it through. I think one of the dangers of singleness is that you can kind of live life on hold.
Yeah.
Waiting for that partner to come. Now, I don't think Dad does this. You're great, Dad. But the potential to live life on hold, like you're in like an airport kind of waiting area and you're waiting for the flight to go off to your new life, your new holiday. Yeah. And, you know, actually, I think it's not about living it on hold. It's about living this period of your life to the fullest and best
you
can.
Get to duty free.
Doing so well, doing some of the things you can only do as a single person. And it's not like, you know.
See it as an opportunity.
Yeah, see, singleness is real. And the truth is, you know, there are some married people who, you know, in the depths of night wonder what it'd be like to be single again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they look back and go, wow. Do. You know, and so it's about seeing singleness as a real gift, but also seeing marriage as a real gift take the best of both of those. But I think there is a danger for some single people to just kind of wait and, oh, I'm on hold until I meet my partner.
Yeah, but this is the thing. As like, so I was, I didn't have really any girlfriends growing up. I just had, you know, stupid little school things. Mm. But I probably never went on, I don't think I've really went on a date. I didn't even really with Kat. But I think the difference probably for me to you two is that it wasn't through lack of trying.
Okay.
So I guess that's like God's grace for me, really, that, you know, I did hold out till I found someone that I wanted to marry.
Mm, yeah.
But I don't feel like that was massively my doing.
No,
it was not through lack of trying, I'll tell
you. Right. And for some people, it's, you know, you got to be careful you don't try too hard, because you don't come across really well, you know, if you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know, if
you. Oh, it's your first time in church today. Do you want to get dinner?
Do you want to go to dinner? You know, or, you know, you stalk them on Facebook or whatever, and, you know, you're so kind of out there telling people that you're on the market, that, you know, and you don't want that at all. That kind of can put people off, can't it?
So. Yeah. I mean, like, because now there's online Christian dating and all sorts of that. Like, I've got a couple of friends that have got married.
Yeah.
Through that sort of stuff. But maybe that's a different podcast.
Well, social media and kind of internet communication is here to stay, isn't it? You know, we know that from our jobs. And so why shouldn't relationships be built through social media? And
absolutely.
And you're going to get some that work and you're going to get some that are utter disasters, just like you do in kind of normal life.
So what do you think the church, and by the church I mean Eden, I mean the Forge, I mean, you know, the Church of England, you know, the church, Christians. What can we do to help single people, to help people that want to lead that life? Because as you said, like, even your friends, they're putting you on the table with the single people. Dan, I can't even imagine the amount of jokes and banter that you get about, when you get married. Oh, what about this person? Oh, they're single. Oh, you're single.
Oh, they've walked through the door. Oh, right. That's for you then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I would say to people, take your time. Take your time. Yeah. Don't rush into anything. There's this, like, there's this element of like, oh, you found someone, you need to do this right now. Let's get this on fast forward. As Matt said, you don't need to do that.
Mm.
Just because you're in a Christian relationship doesn't mean it's, I'm not saying that it won't be the relationship for you, but don't try and go from X to Y as quickly as possible. See it out as a normal relationship would, but with God at the center.
Because you're right, Christians can kind of rush that, can't they? They're so desperate to have sex half the time.
I don't know if you're going to edit this out, but I'm going to call it like horny Christian syndrome.
Yeah.
So, we've said worse.
Yeah, so. You know, and so they're desperate to.
Yeah.
I think, so for me, I've got obviously my friends that I spoke about earlier who kind of I'm a part of their life and their normal families, but there are a couple of friends who are actually families, people who, you know, children I've kind of worked with as a youth worker, but kind of I'm a part of their family life. I can just rock up at their house. I know where the spare key is hidden. I can just turn up at their house. You know, they don't put any airs and graces on for me.
Yeah.
You know, the washing's still hanging out of the radiator. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but I'm part of their family. And I think for single people to not be treated as kind of this extra categories, like, well, what do we do for singles? No, just treat us as part of normal everyday life. Include us on church leadership. You know, you look at a lot of church leadership and kind of being married seems to be one you have to be married before you can be a leader, or you know, all of that's just treat us as part of the church. You know, when you look at Jesus or Paul or other people in the Bible, they weren't married, you know. Actually being, as we were saying earlier, being unmarried, being single can actually release a lot of skills and talents into the church and into church leadership, if we kind of let it. So
yeah, no, that's good. I've got some questions from a married guy to ask two single guys.
All right.
Okay.
Do you want to hang out with us by yourself? Or do you
What do you mean, like the element of being a third wheel?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Oh, brilliant. That's really helpful. Thanks for listening to the Eden Gavin podcast.
Well, yes, in the fact that we can learn a lot from married couples. We can. And we appreciate what a good relationship looks like and we want to emulate that. But at the same time, no, because it sometimes makes us feel like we want something and then sometimes it leads to...
Yeah. You find it awkward, though? Just like being around...
I don't find it awkward because generally married couples aren't all over each other, you know.
No.
So obviously I'm a little bit older than Dan, so perhaps my perspective is a little bit different. But yeah, you're my friends, you're my peers, you're my. So of course I want to hang out with you. I don't mind hanging out, you know, when you're married or when you're single. I don't mind most of the time if the kids are hanging along, if they're involved.
Yeah.
What we don't want is kind of, I love being able to offer as a gift free babysitting to my married friends.
Mm.
You know, I'm the Uncle Matty who comes around and destroys your family life and lets the kids stay up late, eat sweets, you know, drink Coke before bedtime, all of that.
Coca-Cola.
I love playing that role, but I don't want to do it every time.
No,
because my relationship is with you as well as the kids. Yeah. So, of course, I'll come and babysit. But if you only want me in your life to be a babysitter, then we've got a different discussion. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sorry for asking you, Matt. No, you didn't have to tell me on the podcast.
It's a privilege for me to be a babysitter.
Yeah,
you should know that.
Yeah,
you know. of course, I want to hang out.
So,
with
married
friends.
Make it really literal. Me and Kat going out.
Yeah.
Would you come out with us, just the three of us?
Yes.
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah. So you both would?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, question number two. If I have, I think I know the answers. If I have hot, single, Christian friends, is it my duty, would you like me to, hook you up?
Dan's indicating to me.
No. from Matt.
No, I mean, hook me up as a friend, yeah. But if they're looking for a kind of a dating relationship to get with the potential to get married, then I'll be very clear, that's not what I want. But do I want a hot friend to go to get out to the cinema with? Or yeah, then yeah.
Okay.
But you know, I'm not about getting married.
And Daniel?
Come on, Dan.
What do you think?
Yes is the answer. Yeah.
Well, no, because like, as I say, we're on different paths, aren't we?
Yeah, so absolutely we are.
I think that like anything like that is like, I wouldn't say no to it, obviously. And I would like, obviously see where things, like, people match make all the time. Why can't Christian circles be different anyway?
But what's weird is that I know lots of single guys. I mean, we're two single guys on the podcast going, oh, there's no single Christian girls out there. And then I'll have conversations with Christian girls. Oh, there's no single Christian guys out there. I'm like, I know there are. I'm chatting to you. Like, why don't you lot get in a room together and get it sorted? Do you know what I mean? Christian speed dating.
That's got to be cringe, right?
I can't think of anything worse.
I think people are too picky.
Absolutely.
I mean, Catch has settled with me. I
do agree. And I do. And maybe the internet's got something to do with that, but I certainly think people wait for perfection. Maybe this is a challenge for Dan when you think about waiting for the one. You know, if our the one standards are kind of too high, then we'll never find the one. But if we, you know, are happy to accept people with gifts and failings like we've got, which I know you are, Dan, but like we've got, then but you're right. I think particularly as we get older, the longer you've held out, the greater your kind of waiting for perfection to come in.
Absolutely. But it doesn't exist. Just settle. No, that's not the message just that we're giving people. So any closing thoughts, any piece of advice for people that are struggling with being single in church?
Just honestly, just be patient. That's my main thing. Don't honestly feel like because everyone around you's got something going doesn't mean that you need to like properly directly pursue it.
Yeah.
And being patient's not always easy. It is hard. Mm. We know it is. I really would try and kind of take the most of the opportunity you have right now of being single, you know, to go and experience things, to do things, to go to places, invite friends, get involved with friends, you know. Keep praying. And actively look. I don't think there's a problem with actively looking. No. But just kind of...
Don't put yourself into situations that you don't want to...
That you don't want to be in, yeah. Mm. I think generally marriage does come for everyone. Well, not everyone, for most people who want it. Yeah. You know, in time, it does come. So just hang in there. And it's really interesting. I know several people who were desperate to get married, and it, you know, and it absorbed all of their thinking and all of their time, and eventually they found someone, and eventually they got married. And talking with them now, they talk about the struggles of marriage.
Yeah.
And they look back at their single days with a bit of wistful thinking. And, you know, if I could try that again, you know, maybe I'd do things differently.
That's very honest.
There's a bit of a wry grin on Ben's face here, as if he's like, oh, yeah, I know what that means.
No, absolutely not, actually. I spent every day of being single wishing that I was with Kat.
Right, so, okay.
And now I am.
That's cool. So, that's good.
And I'm not just saying that. That's actually true. And if you know me from back then, you'll know that that's true because it's all I ever spoke about. But.
Yeah, and definitely you're punching above your weight.
Oh, mate, definitely. And I weigh a lot.
She's in a different league to you.
She absolutely is. But I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Like, you know, people get upset about stuff like that. But I don't really know a couple in our church where the man isn't punching. We can go through more now.
That's another debate for another time, surely.
That's a different podcast.
But yeah, so I guess like if you are young, 20-something, female, smoking hot, any other requirements, Dan? I don't know, could they look at...
Don't list smoking hot as if it's they've got to be good looking to be. No, just kind of...
Oh, I
character's
guess.
Important too, Ben, you know?
You've got to be under, 4'11"? Otherwise, it's just
not
going
to
work.
I hate you so much sometimes.
Yeah. Ben, you can't list their looks as a number one priority.
Smoking hot personality.
Oh, right. That's bad.
Nice
then.
Funny.
Yeah.
Charming.
Yeah.
Full set of teeth.
That would be preferable, please.
Preferable. Cool. Well, and also come to the Eden gathering.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Dan will be there. He'll be there full tux, shaking everyone's hand on the door.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly started being on welcome now.
Yeah. And just remember, both singleness and marriage is a gift.
Yeah.
And to kind of take that gift and to use that gift and whatever place you find yourself in at the moment. I don't mean whatever God's called you to. I mean whatever you find yourself in at the moment, kind of make the most of it and serve God and enjoy life as much as you can in that situation.
Amen. All the single ladies, put your hands up.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Well, I've got...
Beyonce's not single though, is she?
No, she's married to Jay-Z.
Yeah, so why is she singing about single ladies then?
I don't know.
Is that because married ladies didn't fit in the tune?
I don't know. Like, that's just a weird tune altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But the dance is good, so...
Yeah.
But I've got some exciting...
Exciting news.
Exciting news. Do you know what's happening on the 26th of October?
No, can you tell me, please?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Eden are doing some social action.
Woo!
Have we got a theme tune? Alex's headphones or you listening have just been blown off. Alex, just blood trickling out of your ears there as you got the headphones on. Yeah, so for details on social action. Whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Go to edengathering.co.uk. That's going to happen on the 26th of October at Freedom Church. There is lots of information on our website.
So just before we end, can I just check? So is Alex married?
Oh, we didn't.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he?
Alex, so you married Alex?
Has he talked about it?
In fact, you should get your wife in to do a podcast.
She does want to do a podcast.
What's it like being married to Alex?
Alex, do you know a secret? Alex hates being talked to when he doesn't have a microphone. So that's why we're doing it.
So,
Alex, what do you think?
Actually, we could get his wife in. We've discovered he's married. We could get his wife in and we could ask her, like, you know, was it better being married to Alex or, you know, do you look back at your single life?
Do you remember that
life?
Chat we had with Alex before his wedding?
Yes, I remember that chat.
Some very interesting subjects.
We went out for a drink, Dan, and we were talking about...
Wedding night sex.
We were talking about.
Oh yeah.
With our one and only Alex, yeah. And
I felt like it was a defining moment in our friendship.
We told him a lot of stuff, didn't we?
And we could interview Beth and see if he took it on board.
That'd be interesting.
Nice.
And we could still not give him a microphone, so it could just be Beth.
Yeah. No, Beth does want to come on, doesn't she? He says, but until then. Alex, please will you play the music?
Are you looking for a man who loves you as much as he loves himself?
Are you looking for a man who has small feet?
Are you looking for a man who's independent and wealthy? Oh, kinda.
Are you looking for a man who can't quite grow a full beard, but has constant stubble where he can't be bothered to shave?
Are you looking for a man who loves his cricket?
Are you looking for a man whose blonde locks are whiter than snow?
What? Whiter than snow.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
No. Are you looking for a man who's authentic on the inside and the out?
Are you looking for a man who uses private browsing so you don't have to see what he's been up to?
You can't put that in the dating profile. Are you looking for Dan Marsh? Because we love him and we think he'll be great for you.